welcome to This Week in Debian, the podcast bringing you the latest interviews and news inside the Debian community, brought to you by frostbitemedia.org, the network bringing you your favorite GNU Linux podcasts.
Hello, I'm Rafael Herzog. I'm a Debian developer working on DPKG. I'm also the author of a French book called Cahier de l'Admin Debian, which I'm going to translate in English with my co-author Roland Mas. The English title is going to be The Debian Administrator Handbook. We're going to speak about this book today.
Yes, and thanks, Raphael, for joining us. Some of you may know him as Bugsy Online. And welcome to this episode of This Week in Debian. We thank you for joining us. And today you're going to be learning about the Debian handbook that Raphael is putting his effort towards. And so far, it seems to be going rather well. How's everything going, Raphael, with that?
Well, we started with a project of crowdfunding project. That is, we wanted to make this book make this translation in English, but we could not afford to do it by ourselves because it's a lot of work. Something we expected to take like 6 months of work for one person, so maybe 3 months for two. And so we decided to ask for support, and we use we use a crowdfunding system like Kickstarter, but called Ulule. So we asked for 50,000 euros to be able to complete the translation. This operation lasted 2 months between October and November, and I'm pretty happy because it succeeded, and we collected 24,000 euros. So it's enough for to complete the translation.
Nice. Now, I guess before we get too far into that, can you maybe tell our listeners, like, you know, what is the Debian handbook? What can you expect from getting this book? And, you know, what, like, how in depth does it go? What does it cover? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So, well, maybe a bit of story of the French book, because it's a translation of the French book. So I wrote the book 6 years ago in 2005, and it was meant for administrators because it's part of a collection of book called Cahier de l'Admin in French. And the book is really for everybody, because there is a first half of the book which is generic explanation about Debian, how you install it, how you install packages, how you manage your system, how you find documentation, all this kind of stuff. And the second half is really more targeted towards server usage, so for system administrators in companies. So that's the part where you learn about mail server, web server, virtualization, and everything else that is really more for administrators than for the average end user.
Okay, so the book is more geared towards, like, system administrators or companies that are deploying a large installment of, like, Debian servers and stuff. Is that the majority of the audience you're looking at?
Well, it's a big part of the audience, but like I said, the book can be useful for really everybody, because anyone is his own administrator. When you use Debian at home, you administrate your own computer, you have no other choice.
Right.
And so really, there are many, many interesting things for everybody in the first half of the book. The second half is really more for system administrators only, but even if you're at home, you may want to install a web server to play with, or because you need one web application that you enjoy and you don't want to have it hosted anywhere else. So you can, it's also a book for people who want to like, go one step further and host some of their services on their own machine instead of relying on the external entities. There's quite many people who don't like having all their data in the cloud or everything, like or on other sensitive services.
Yeah.
So for those people, it can be interesting to learn to host some services by themselves, and this is a way to do it by learning the basics to administrate your own server.
Now you're in France, right?
Yes.
So I'm assuming that the book's originally written in French, then, right?
Yes, that's right.
Now what's the first language that you're going, that like with the fundraising you did to do the translation? Is that to translate it to English, or are you looking to translate it to something else first?
No, to English first, of course. Because most translators in the free software community translate from English to their native language. So really, English is a logical language to use, even if my real target would be something else.
Yeah.
In fact, we have received some offers to translate the book, further translate the book in other languages. I think I've seen offers for a Spanish translation and a Greek one already, but it's a bit too early to speak of further translation, because well, as long as the book is not freed, it would be a translation of a commercial book, so it would require a contract with my company, and I think it's really best if we manage to free the book first and then work on further translation.
Yeah, that was that.
But, well, if anyone wants to get in touch with this right now, they shall be free to contact me, but I think we must first complete the English translation and then complete the liberation of the book before we jump into more interesting project like translating it in other languages.
Yeah, that was that. You actually led into my next question. Was I was going to ask, like, how does that work if you're under sort of a proprietary license for the book? How would the translating it work? Now, what's the reasoning behind not having a free license right out of the gate? I imagine you have your reasons, but how come it started that way?
Well, it's just a matter of being correctly paid for the work we put into the book. I mean, the target that we set for the crowdfunding campaign was rather low, because it may seem much, €15,000, but once you put away the taxes, the commission from the service,
right,
the price of the rewards, because when you supported the product, you could pick a reward. So some of the rewards are the electronic book, so this doesn't cost anything.
Mm.
But other rewards were costly, like the printed book,
right,
or there was also the DVD ROM of Debian, or even a meal with me. That sort of rewards were offered, and they have a price. So really, the benefit on the operation is rather small. And as I said, if you divide this by 6 months of work, it's not so much per month.
Right.
So that's why we decided to set a liberation target that was somewhat higher. It is at €25,000. So and out of those 25, we managed to get 15 during the initial crowdfunding. And, well, donations keeps coming in, and we're already past 16, so...
Oh, nice.
I guess the book will be liberated sometimes in 2012, but
okay.
I don't know when exactly, but I hope it will happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, now with the crowdfunding source that you use, is it like Kickstarter where if you set a target that you want to raise and you don't meet that target, you then don't get any funding at all, right? Does it work like that, like Kickstarter?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so sometimes it is good to aim low, because then at least you know you're going to get some money, and then hopefully it goes over, you know, what your target was, and then you can get some extra money. So
exactly, that was the reasoning I used, and the reason I put a second target with an interesting reward, because a free Daven book is really something worth it, I think.
Now,
well, I've had nice testimonials from the Debian leader explaining that we do not have any, or we have very few free books about Debian, and we really need one good book that can showcase the values of the free software community by using the license that we defend. That we embrace in Debian usually.
When the book is liberated, do you plan on updating the book as time goes along? Say if something changes or whatever, do you plan just kind of updating it periodically once the book has been liberated, so people can have a constantly updated book?
Oh yes and no. The book is really documenting the stable release, so update it once every 2 years
or longer.
Well, it's rather steady timetable since the book is out. It's true. The first edition of the book was documenting the SARS release, which took 3 years to complete, but ever since Sarge, we tend to get a new release every 2 years, so it's rather a good track record from now, and I hope Debian will keep it that way.
And now when it comes to translating, I just thought of this, and this is interests me, is when you're going from language to language to language, when you're translating things, I unfortunately only speak English and not that well, but when it comes to translating stuff, is it better to go, like, say you're translating from French to English, now say when someone wants to translate to Spanish or Greek, is it better to translate from the French version, or is it then better to use the English and translate? Because I know sometimes the English language doesn't do any justice to some words in other languages. So what would be the best approach to doing that?
Well, would it be a completely literary book? Maybe I would understand your point of view, but it's really a technical book. So on the contrary, most of the vocabulary is English, and we have to invent translation to cope with the technical English vocabulary that is in use. So it's best to translate from English, because at least we can use the common words that are known by all computer scientists. As I said, all the free software translators are already used to translate from English to another language. So it's rather difficult to find good translators from French to other languages.
Where can people go if they're interested in getting the book? How can they help support? I know you're still raising the money for the liberation, so where could they go to do that?
Well, there's a dedicated website for the book. It's debian-handbook.info. There's a liberation subpage, or you find the link on the first page. There's a nice progress bar where you can follow how much has been raised in the liberation fund and how many supporters participated. At least you can verify that your donation is taken into account instantly. the website also gives more information. You have a smaller overview, of course, but also the full table of contents, because we translated all of the titles by advance so that people can see the content of the book. The frequently asked question page of Voile. There's a blog with the latest news, so you can subscribe if you want to follow the progress. And there's also a sample chapter. We translated the chapter covering APT, so APT Get, Aptitude, Synaptic, and all the tools from this family. It's really a good sample chapter because, well, it's from the first half, so it's something that all Debian users should know or are interested by. Even if it's something generic, I mean, everybody knows apt-get, check it out and you'll see that there are many stuff to learn, even if you already use it daily. There are tips, I think it shows that we are Debian developers and we have lots of good experience to share and to... do you see what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Now, is the book... Can people get a digital copy and a physical copy? What are the options for the book?
Well, during the initial crowdfunding campaign, yes, we had all the options. Right now, we're busy doing the translation, so the only option is to, if you want, pre-order the electronic copy just by donating towards the liberation. But once the translation is over, I fully intend to offer a paperback printed on demand with services like Lulu or something similar.
Right now, if they donate to the liberation, can they donate any amount of money and they'll qualify to get an electronic version, or are you wanting people to donate a certain amount?
You need to donate at least 10 euros if you want a copy of the book. You can donate less, but then you won't have a copy before the book is freed. Because once the book is freed, everybody gets a free copy, of course. But
right, okay.
But if you want to get a copy as soon as it is available, and even if the book is not yet freed, then you have to put at least 10 euro.
Okay. Do you have any targets of when the book will be finished?
Yeah, my goal is to publish it in April. So we have 3 months to complete the translation.
Yeah, not too far off.
Yeah, it's better that way. Because, well, people have donated, and we really want to do proof that there's work going on, and we don't want to wait too long. So I made sure that we're doing good progress. I'm rather busy, but I hired a professional translator to help me to go quicker.
Yeah, and then I mean, if it's going to be on April, when's the next stable release? Kind of, I mean, no one knows, but when's it kind of targeted to come out, the next stable release? It's at least over a year away, right?
The Wheezy is going to freeze in June. I think it would be released by the end of the next year.
Yeah, by the end of 2012. Yeah,
I don't know exactly which month, but I think it will be in the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, it might go into January, but usually after a freeze it's about 6 months and it's ready to go from what I've seen Debian do. So
the last release was that way. We always try to have shorter threes because they are problematic for us. Like to upload new version to unstable, but it's difficult when you have so many bugs to fix. I mean, right now there are about 1,000 really critical bugs. So that makes a lot to fix. Hopefully we'll fix most of them before the freeze, but my experience tells me that they usually tend to be fixed after and not before.
Yeah, because then you specifically focus on those ones that's freezed, and then you know you don't have to worry about any other new bugs cropping up. What happens to, like, the unstable pool? Like, when the freeze is going on in testing, does the unstable pool just fill up with a bunch of stuff then? Because it has nowhere to go, right?
Right, but unfortunately, the release manager still prefer to push fixes from unstable to testing. So that means that they want developers to not upload new version to unstable. So that's why during the freeze, unstable is no longer so interesting because it doesn't get new upstream version for most of the package. Some maintainers are not following this rule and are still uploading new versions that are staying in unstable, of course, not migrating to unstable. But then if we discover a bug in one of the packages that is in testing, we have to upload fixes directly to testing through what we call testing proposed updates. And release manager do not like this because it means because nobody uses this intermediary repository, and they prefer when fixes go through unstable, because in unstable there are lots of testers. So
that makes sense.
It's a compromise. I mean, most developers would prefer to be able to do their work as usual in unstable, but release manager prefer us not to do so.
Yeah, we had the release manager on before. His name is slipping my mind right now. What's his name?
Oh, there are many. I don't know which one you interviewed. Adam Barat, Philippe Kern, Julien Christo.
It wasn't any of those guys. I don't remember now.
Okay, I remember. it's Luc. No, Luc Kless. No? Was it? No?
No.
I don't know.
He's a British guy, lived in England. I can't remember his name right now, which is awful. Oh. He was like the second interview we did, I think, on This Week in Debian.
I think it's Adam Barat, then. It's only British guy in the team, I think. Anyway, not a big deal.
Is there anything else you wanted to cover about the Debian handbook that we didn't get a chance to go over? The website's debian-handbook.info if everyone wants to go there and donate.
I have nothing to add. If people want to help, there's a donation towards the liberation, but there's also the possibility to pass the word. I mean, share the link with your friends. Even a small widget that you can install on your website if you want to encourage your visitors to participate. The widget shows the progress bar and interestingly, at the end of the campaign, we had quite a few companies who joined and made significant donations. So if you're part of a company which uses free software or Debian, maybe you can ask if might be willing to support the liberation. I can provide invoice for those companies, so it's not a big deal, and it's a good way to to contribute, because, well, 10 euros per 10 euros, we're getting there, but it takes time. But if we can get a few significant contribution from companies, it would be great as well.
Mm. Yeah.
We had a few web hosters who contributed. We had Proxmox, gave 500 euros. There's also we also had the French. Well, no, not the French part of Free Software Foundation. Free Software Foundation France gave 500 euro. That was a nice gesture.
Nice. Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, pass the word around. Get in touch with companies, and I'm sure we'll manage to liberate the book next year. And what I mean liberate, it's not only available as a free PDF, because well, we have many free books using only Creative Commons license. So the liberty they give you is to modify or pass around what they give you, but they give you only the PDF. So practically you can't really modify the book, you can't easily translate it, you can't easily make a derivative work. So it's free software according to the license, but it's not a free software according to its spirit. And what I mean liberate, it's really liberate. It means the book will come with the sources, and it will use a free tool to generate the book called Publican.
That's a great program. How do you know it?
It's used by Red Hat for their own documentation, and it really gives a good looking output for docbook documents. So
yeah, you can turn it into like EPUB, docbook, all kinds of formats in one shot.
And, what's also interesting is that it's a native support for translation. So it generates PO files like for any other free software project. I mean, translators of the book just have to translate PO files. There's nothing special because it's a book.
Hmm.
It will be a free book according to the Debian Free Software Guidelines. So that means that, of course, when the book is free, it will be packaged in Debian and it will be available on the mirror. So I'm going. Want to do it the right way.
when it comes to liberated, would you be able to maybe even put it as like a package within like the repo, so like someone could download it right within Debian and be able to read it?
That's what I meant
like that.
when I said integrated in Debian.
Awesome.
It would be packaged in a Debian package, and it would be installable with apt-get. And...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Raphael, we'll have to have you on again and talk about some of the DPKG stuff that we talked about, the multi-arch stuff, another time, but I appreciate all of your effort on this. This is a much needed thing for free software and Debian for people to have a one-stop shop, a canonical place to go to learn everything you need to learn about Debian.
Yeah.
So this is great, and it's great that people are supporting this cause too. So it shows that you're on the right track, and that this is something that's needed.
I have lots of comments from readers of the French book, and several of them told me that, well, they always feared to switch to Debian because Debian has this reputation of being for the geek, for the hardcore Linuxers. But once they have a book in their hands and they can follow some really made steps for the installation, and when they have all the required explanation, they can really jump over and install Debian and try it, and really it's a great tool to convince and to convert Linux users who are who have some fears towards Debian. And I really hope this book will be useful to lots, to many people like us in the coming years. Because, well, it sold like 16,000 copies in France over the 5 editions of the book. So imagine how many more people we can reach on the international, in the world, in the whole world.
Yeah, definitely. That's amazing.
Oh, well, I hope we'll manage to liberate the book and to bring more Debian goodness to more people next year.
Yeah, definitely. So everyone needs to go to debian-handbook.info and you can donate to liberate the book and to help Raphael anyway. And again, thanks for coming on. We appreciate your time and all of your effort on this project, and we can't wait for the book to be liberated and get it translated to English and see what happens from there.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Raphael. We'll talk to you again sometime soon.
No problem.
Thank you for listening to This Week in Debian. If you know someone or you yourself are in the Debian community, please get a hold of us. We can interview you. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Again, that email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.